So sure, Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, and for the quick weather update, today, partly sunny, although it's pretty cloudy right now, high of 39. Thursday, partly sunny again, high of 33. Thursday night, we might get some snow and a low of 27. And then Friday, there's a chance of snow and then partly sunny, high of 41. There's a 40% chance of snow on Friday. Friday night, partly cloudy, and then mostly sunny and snow likely, 60%, and a high of 37 on Saturday.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and I'm going to push the go live button. You can watch us on Facebook, and give me 1 second. Okay. So we are live. The Facebook Live is back working, so we're live on at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help on Facebook, and I'm very excited to welcome today John Frejust. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Good. Well, I'm so excited to have you here today. So you've got a pretty interesting background, and you've got a website and a book and all kinds of good stuff to talk about. But let's first start with a little bit about your background and your bean counter and CPA and different things. So what brought you here today, and a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. So just to keep it brief, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. The son of Haitian immigrants. So culturally, I was raised in the African-American culture, but I was also raised in a Haitian church environment. So kind of a mixture of the two cultures. And growing up, I just saw life in the urban community. And I also saw, you know, life in the church community. And the reason why I started the Bridge 330, the Bridge 330 is a mentoring program. It's two pieces. The Bridge is essentially helping to, you know, compensate for some of the deficits of what we didn't get growing up. Frederick Douglass has a quote that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Right. So that's the Bridge piece. The 330 is a verse. If it said 316, you would think John 316. Right. Which is like the foundation Christian scripture. John 330 is later in that chapter where he says, may he increase and may I decrease. So trying to be more like Jesus, you know,
I love that.
Mahatma Gandhi has a quote. I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Mm-hmm. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Right?
Yeah, no, it's true.
So for me, that was my greatest frustration. And we can talk about it later. You know, everybody has a purpose and a calling in life. And one of the ways to find your calling is to find the thing that frustrates you the most. Your greatest frustration is a problem you are here to solve. So my frustration was seeing people who say they were Christians who didn't care about people in the world. You know, by the time I was 15 years old, the brothers in my community, mostly black men, were serving 60 to 70 years in prison. All right. People who my parents helped to raise essentially just went in the wrong direction. Oftentimes fatherless homes in communities riddled with hustling and gang activities. They just went in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I had my parents. I had the church community. Mm-hmm. I had organizations like the Newark Youth Leadership Program that just kept us away from those negative things. And for me, I said, if I can find a way to organize my life and my efforts to serve that cause, to stop that, I'll do that. So that's why I wrote the book, Bridge the Gaps.
That's incredible. I can't wait to read it, and you brought me a copy. I'm so grateful. So I'm excited. I love reading books, and especially meeting authors, and so I'm looking forward to adding that to my nightstand. So, and if people want to look at your website while we're talking, it's is it bridge330.com or thebridge330.com?
Thebridge330.com.
T-H-E. Correct. Okay. Right. And so they can find out more about you and your book and what you're doing. But tell them, let's go back to your accounting background, right? How long you were in the corporate world for a little bit, right?
Still am.
Oh, you still are. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So this is your side project.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good for you.
This is my labor of love.
That's good. Well, I mean, it's all about balance, right?
Right.
And, yeah, you've got to pay the bills, but you also got to feed your soul.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, I love that. And that's why Room to Read feeds my soul, and then it led to the radio show. It led to so many things. And so that's what this show is all about, is telling people that you got to find your thing. You got to find something, a way of helping others, find a volunteer opportunity that's right for you, and just go with it, and then you find true happiness, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So how did you get – so the bridge started before the book, correct? Or were they kind of in tandem together?
It's really like what happens after you do everything. So I started off – I just want to help people, right? You just start off with your intention, and then you're like – one of the ways I can help people is write a book. And then you're like, all right, I'll write a book. And now I'm an author, right? And then, you put a program together because you're working with at a prison or a detention center. And they're like, these kids need a program. And I'm like, I put a program together. Okay, what do you call it? The Bridge 330. So it's like, it's kind of what happens after you start.
Okay.
And you try to make it polished, but it starts off really raw. And then you put it together and you make it comprehensive and sophisticated, so
yeah,
anyone could use it and benefit from the tools. So actually on the website, thebridge330.com, if you click on Start a Book Club and you put your email in, it's going to send you an assessment where you can assess yourself on how you're doing in self-awareness, self-development, self-care. So you can kind of measure yourself. It's like a leadership assessment tool. So
yeah, and this is perfect. It says it right on the cover: lessons on self-awareness, self-development, and self-care, which is basically it's the trifecta of how to get going, right?
Yeah,
so, absolutely. How did you come up with this plan and this system?
Right. So, this is about 7 years ago. I started working.
See the book? Okay, sorry.
7 years ago, I started working part time at a group home, a home for temporarily displaced kids. So I literally, for folks who are spiritually inclined, I felt called by God to kind of shift my career. I was working, still working as a financial planner earlier in my career, and I just said I want to learn. And instead of going back to school, which is a way that some people do, they go back and they get the licensed social work and LPC, professional counselor, LMFT, marriage and family therapist. I said, let me just go directly into the field. And I just started working with young men. And you're trained, and I got my behavioralist consultant license, but you're working directly with young men and women who unfortunately have been displaced from their families. Maybe their parents were addicted to a substance. Maybe there was abuse, neglect. Maybe their parents were incarcerated, and they ended up in the group home. So, part-time, working Saturdays and Sundays, it was like we created a family environment. Mm-hmm. And in that process, I'm working with these young people, and I'm like, the issues that they're dealing with, folks are dealing with in the world in general, right? These are high-level issues. And the common denominator for all of us is none of our parents are perfect.
Correct.
None.
Correct.
Right? And it's a spectrum, right? It's a spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people had great parents who made a couple mistakes, and some people, unfortunately, did not win the parent lottery at all.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, there's some tools that we all need to learn. So these three umbrella topics, right? Self-awareness, self-development, self-care. So identity, destiny, and then sanctity. So who are you? What are you called to do? And then how do you learn to love? They don't teach us this in school, right?
I know. I'm just like blown away, away. These are just at the core of everything.
Absolutely. And you probably already know this. In life, you don't need to learn new lessons all the time. You need to be reminded of the old lessons. Because in high stress moments, you forget some of the things that are basic, right? And so you need constant reminders to keep you on the path, because sometimes we know the path, but life is full of obstacles. So you need constant reminders. Oh, yeah, I have a purpose. I have a destiny. So you need boundaries. to kind of align you. So this guide serves as a point of reminders at every stage of life, whether you're graduating from high school, you know, going to college, college into the workforce, you're in the workforce and starting a business, you're getting married. We all need self-awareness, self-development, self-care. Coming out of prison, especially if you're recovering from an addiction, this is recovery. Right. You know, so this is the work that I think we all can do.
It's great. It's a way to stay grounded and reminded. So faith was a huge part of your life growing up, right? It was your community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So did you go every Sunday or all the time, or how? Tell us about growing up in that church community.
I was in church 8 days a week.
Oh my God.
8 days a week. So, you know, my mom, because of the what was going on in the community, church was like the way to escape. You know, my parents and Haitians have this mindset that you need a simple way to approach life, and they have the three L's: l'école, l'église, la caille. Essentially, that's school, church, and home. L'école, l'église, la caille. So that's what their life is, you know, revolves around, and they kind of had that same structure for us growing up. So I was going to church a lot. And, you know, you're in church and you're like, this is horrible. This is terrible. I'd rather be outside with my friends.
Right.
But in the process, you're, you know, going to Sunday school and, you know, you chew the meat and spit out the bones, right? Church is full of people. Once people get there, it's not perfect, right? So for me, I didn't have a horrible church experience. I was just someone who had a lot of questions. And sometimes the church environment did not like the fact that you asked all these questions, and maybe they didn't know the answer, or maybe I was immature in how I went about, you know, asking the question. So it was kind of frustrating, but at the same time, there were people there who could help coach and mentor me. And in the process, I learned about God, and ultimately God is love. So when you're learning some of these tools, it's like, you know, seeds are being planted. And later on, like right now, all the things I learned in Sunday school is coming back. Right. All these basic lessons about how to love and how to live, how to be wise, how to make good choices. You know, I learned that in Sunday school. So
that's incredible. Book, yeah. I know. I love it. So tell us more about the book. Do you visit book clubs or have 10,000 hours? I was just flipping through.
Right.
How do you get the book out there? Do you have the kids read it at the center you're working, the group home? And
yeah.
Is it getting out there? Are you getting it out there so
absolutely.
People to read?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I need help with marketing.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
You know, my idea of marketing was just tell people about the book, you know, and I think that's what a book sells, because you tell people about it, right? It's the virality that we have in our world. People think that's going to happen a lot, but marketing and promotion is important.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, just I'm trying to get as much feedback as possible on the ground. So mm-hmm. the book is now being used in Northern State Prison. Mentors and coaches and counselors, the vice principal of the detention center, they're using the book, and it's kind of shaping leaders, because if you want to change a community, I think you got to change the leaders first. So, and if you want to change anything, change yourself first. So people who are working directly with people, I work with them. So they're reading it. And for this, it's actually a slow process. This is like, you know, there's seasons of life where you need introspection, and this is going to help you with the introspection piece. So it's kind of moving slowly in that way. So that's how I'm marketing it.
Yeah, but that's good. But anything worth anything is it's not a quick fix, right?
Right, exactly.
It's a slow go and digest as you go
mm-hmm.
and learn as you go.
Right.
That's incredible. Well, so tell us a little. We can talk a little bit about the incarceration statistics. You have them right on your website, so I'm sure you know them off the top of your head, right?
Yeah, there are 2.3 million people incarcerated today. It was one of the most startling things I ever heard about. The prison population, I think in like the 1970s, was 300,000, and it jumped to 2.3 million, largely because of the war on drugs,
mm-hmm.
You know, started by the Ronald Reagan administration. And, you know, there was a rhetoric of being tough on crime. And unfortunately, we saw a disproportionate number of African-American men incarcerated in that process. Black men in America, we make up 6% of the American population, but 40% of the prison population. So there actually was a bill that was passed in Congress to attempt to revisit the sentences of people who were sentenced before 2010. There was a bipartisan bill that was passed. And I think that's good work, but what happens while you're in prison? While you're there, your mom dies, your sister dies. So some people are really scarred by that experience. And, you know, as far as self-care goes, hurt people. If we don't take the time to process this injury, this wound, I think that we're going to have a lot of bigger issues going forward. And for me, it was really a reminder of the legacy of racial hatred and hierarchy that we saw from slavery. You know, unfortunately, in the American system of education, you don't really hear a lot of talk about the legacy of racism. We just know slavery ended and then Dr. King. That's it. You know, they don't know that 4,700 people were lynched after slavery. They don't know about, you know, the mass incarceration of black men, women, and children. You know, in New Jersey, for every one white person incarcerated, there are 12 black people incarcerated. For every one white minor incarcerated, there are 30 black minors incarcerated.
Crazy.
So we're seeing it's in the it's a intersection of issues from the economics to sometimes racial injustice. And I don't think it's just one solution. I think we need a lot of solutions. So that's why these conversations are really important.
Yeah, and I encourage people to watch 13th. Did you watch that
yep.
documentary?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that, I mean, that lays it all out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very, very well done. And it talks about how the 13th Amendment and slavery and the whole thing, and it just continues on today and leads to the incarceration rates.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and cool. we will be back.
Awesome.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And this morning, we're talking with John Frejust. He is a speaker, a coach, an author, and he is the founder of TheBridge330.com. If you want to check it out, and he does mentoring, he does community work and volunteer work and all kinds of good work. And I just discovered he's a poet as well. So he's going to do the spoken word for us. Take it away, John.
Let's go. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I've been giving Nicole a tutorial on living in the hood. So spoken word is probably one of the most powerful ways to change a culture. Music, right, is one of the most powerful ways to get a message across. So this is a piece about the work that I'm doing, what I've seen growing up, and kind of man I want to be. So let's see if I can give you something. It says, I'm not a follower. I live as a student. I peep game and come to my own conclusions. Righteousness is the style of my life. I'm increasing my knowledge as I trust in Christ. I got a vision for my future, because life with no plan just leads to more confusion. I got a vision for my fam and a vision for the dudes in my hood to get a plan. We got to keep moving. My brother's getting killed for nothing. We keep losing. I lost some brothers. Got to get the revenge for them. Mother's crying every day, still praying for them. So many families living in stress. If I got a tap for all the brothers I lost, there won't be room left. They taught us not to take the stand, but never showed us how to take a stand. Meanwhile, we got a million brothers locked up in the can. I'm realizing we need a better plan. It's hard in the hood living. I came back and I put something good in it. A real one don't got a pop to be known. A real one to post up on the block on his own. Cause I was in my hood with the fiends and crooks. I popped the trunk and started passing out books. And I'm feeling like the time's right to spit verses so my people could get their mind right. Like, what's so crazy to me? Slaves got killed just for learning how to read. They trap your mind in so many ways. A slave can't be bought. A slave has to be made. Your miseducation gets distorted. When you find the right knowledge, they gonna get you reported. What's even so ironic is how they're paying for the prisons. They're not paying for your college. True story, they want us to fail because they're building less schools and they're building more jails. I had to think that they don't like us. They just want us to go through the same cycles. We were on slave blocks getting whipped and chained in. Now we're on the blocks with the whips and chains in. We gotta stop hustling backwards and focus on the generation that'll come after. Lift your brother as you climb the ladder, because that's black saving black. Shout out to Black Lives Matter. Don't let them throw us in the junkyard. They thought they won it all when they played the trump card. They play you close to size you up. It's all good, because we're going to level up. We're about to rise the heights that you never seen. We take the throne like T'Challa. You know we kings. Black Panthers equipped to lead. We need our sisters for the times we freeze. Made to be a king, she was made to be a queen. We got to find a way to get on the same speed. It's hard to be a black man and speak your mind. Every time you do, they want you to get back in line. Salute to Kaepernick for giving up the bag. They diverting from the issue, talking about the flag. We got to check racism or get more problems. I'm in the hood all day. I'm building with killmongers. We can't even plan life while we sit in the cut. I'm talking about them two brothers sitting in Starbucks. We got cops killing brothers with impunity. I'm going crazy. Don't know what they about to do to me. Like 12 years a slave. Thought we were free blacks to one racist act will bring us right back. Kanye West represents me. Hardly. The brother has to read Marcus Garvey. We got a plan for everything that's coming next. By any means, you got to read Malcolm X. Sometimes we sit to stand, and that plays a part. Strong sister, we call her Rosa Parks. We got to stop playing victim. Stop accepting that we trapped in the system. We're on the block, we ripping and running. We got to run for freedom like Harriet Tubman. On the block, moving snow, about to get jammed up in the new Jim Crow. Taking chances because you young and dumb. The judge is going to wash you up, and then you want to run. Crazy bids for cooking up the white. It taught us all lessons on the keys to life. So last words to my brothers on the block. Dr. King wanted kings on the mountaintop, and me, I don't fear no more. I ain't afraid to die because I know who I live for. I'm like Cleo in that turn. I'm patiently waiting, just waiting to set it off like Birth of a Nation, because I've been to more funerals than graduations. We got to change it up if we're going to change the nations. My brothers have no more cares to give. They're not afraid to die. They're really afraid to live. So if you're spiritually stuck, religion will bring you down, but God will lift you up. So to my brothers with lost vision and no hope, I want to tell you, get back to dreaming, but stay woke. You know the racists fed us these self-hating lies so we could hurt each other and kill our own kind. They call them white lies because they don't want to explain, but them white lies put our people in chains. If you're not a native to this land, newsflash, you're an immigrant. Just think about it. With some hypocrites. Sick of my brothers getting killed because of ignorance. Same story, different name. That's the end of it. I want to be like Martin and Malcolm combined so we can fight the hatred that plagues us inside. First things first, we got to get back our pride. Then we can mobilize and fight the hate outside. Second thing, all our actions have to be wise. And Lord knows it all starts with God. So third thing, get ready for the fight. And when the enemy throws shade, you stand in the light. Fourth, if you were raised with lack, you got to compensate for what you didn't get growing up. And bridge the gaps.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible.
Thank you.
You are a poet. Oh my gosh, I love that. And all the news and the history and the books and the, oh my gosh, I love the part about pop the trunk, start handing out books.
Because pop the trunk is a different connotation in
little bit, but yeah. Wow, you got to educate me more, but I mean, I get the gist, right?
Wow.
So my gosh, that's incredible. That's amazing.
Thanks.
Well, and you definitely, I was telling you before, you should definitely check out dodgepoetry.org. So Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation does an incredible poetry festival every other year, so you should definitely be part of that, and you'd fit right in there.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm blown away.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk more about your book and the process. Just give people a taste of the process of writing a book, because it wasn't easy.
Right.
And how you dug deep to get the material to help others.
That's a great question. For me, the hardest part about writing a book is not the research, not, you know, trying to find undivided time to sit down and write. The hardest part of writing a book is believing that it's possible. Believing that people care about your ideas. You know, I was raised in a home where my parents meant well, but they didn't always do right. Sadly, right? No parents are perfect. And one of the values that they didn't have, the tools they didn't have, was emotional health. You know, they were so busy trying to make it.
Right.
You know, we got to make it. We got to hurry up. We got to go to school. We got to get a right. degree. You know, we're living in the hood. And, right. you know, and we got to hurry up because we got to fit into the American social order. You got to get your degree. Got to make six figures. You know, get married and have kids. That's the script. Right. But what if I'm dealing with depression? What if I'm dealing with unresolved anger? You know, what if I'm dealing with questions about sexuality? What if I've been sexually abused? These are things that we just didn't talk about. Self-care. The book talks about some of those deeper issues that are more taboo in our community. The last few chapters, I deal with five in particular. I could have chosen 1,000, right? There's so many different issues to talk about. But I talked about fatherlessness. 1 in 3 children in America grow up without a father. 7 out of 10 in urban communities. I talked about mental illness. About 1 in 4 Americans every year dealing with some type of mental illness, some severe, you know, sometimes anxiety and clinical depression, but bipolar and schizophrenia. Colorism. Colorism is a spinoff of racism. It's where there's the belief that the lighter your skin is, the better you have it in life. All right. So my mom is actually biracial. And my dad is a dark-skinned black man. And they see the world differently. You know, I asked my dad, do light-skinned people get treated better? And he's like, absolutely. I asked my mom, like, mom, do light-skinned people get treated better? She's like, you're still black. Like, so there's white supremacy, then there's light-skinned supremacy. And, you know, the aspiration to be white manifests itself in skin bleaching. Skin bleaching. Billions of dollars are made every year across the world because of skin bleaching.
Really?
This is what white racism has done. It's all across the world. If you go to Africa, South America, India, if your skin is dark, if you go into the beauty shops, they have skin bleaching products.
Wow.
Deep. And it's stuff that you don't really know about, right? Because we are conditioned to see things a certain way from what we see in the media. So these lessons, you know, I mean, there are people who are talking about it right now. And the movie Black Panther helped to highlight that, because there was actually a young girl who was light-skinned who was going to be cast in the movie. And she said, no, that's not a true representation of what Africa was like. So if you look at Black Panther, really all mostly dark-skinned cast.
Yeah, great movie. Yeah.
Absolutely. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So, but this is where the conversation started. And it can be difficult because there's a lot of pain. It affects people at the soul level when you don't feel valuable. You don't feel loved because of your skin complexion. You know, so these are some of the tougher things. Sexual abuse is a big one. Obviously, the Me Too movement, you know, highlights the insidious effects of sexual abuse. For so many years, people are carrying the shame of that experience. 1 in 3 girls has been sexually abused before the age of 18. 1 in 6 men, right? And my story as well is part of that. The numbers are probably higher. But oftentimes people say, I don't want to talk about it. It's too hard. Or they're told they're not believed.
Right.
And that's the really sad piece, you know. And it can get really controversial when we talk about how it happened. And people want to know what happened, right? What happened? And the question is, how is it affecting you?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not going to.
It's over. It's done. But now
how is it affecting
it?
You, right?
Yeah.
And that's really my focus in the book. I'm not trying to talk about the details. And I think. Well-meaning people want to know, hey, what happened? Well, okay, let's just put that to the side for now. How is it affecting you now? Because something that happened to you when you were 12 and now you're 27.
Mm-hmm.
How is it affecting, you know, your ability to trust and your emotional, you know, spontaneity, you know, your identity in some ways you feel like has been affected by that experience.
Yeah, and so, if it's buried and hidden, then it affects you.
Absolutely. And you know, you already know we are as sick as the secrets we keep.
Mm.
And so I talk about also in chapter 33 on how to find safe people to talk. talk to, you know. And if you don't mind, I can give you the anatomy of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Go for it.
And the last chapter is mass incarceration. So when people come out of prison, how do we help folks have a real second chance? But as far as finding safe people, there's an acronym called CASUAL that I created. When you say I have a casual friend, chapter 33, you can look it up.
Okay. Write it down.
Casual, right? So hopefully I memorized it. People, you know how people say, I want to be a good friend, or I'm looking for good friends. I don't have any good friends. We haven't learned the tools to be good, safe friends for each other, right? So casual, the C is you clear up assumptions and clarify expectations. So imagine if I texted you, right, and you didn't text me back. This happens all the time. What happens? People get, she doesn't like me, all right? People get mad. Oftentimes, 90% of the time, we're reflecting back a feeling that we have about ourselves, right? If you send someone a text message after texting them for a period of time and they don't text you back, you might take personal offense to that. Wisdom says, have a conversation. Hey, you didn't text me. What happened? Uh-huh. It's like, well, I was busy, or has this happened? This actually happened to me. I was texting someone. I was doing a speaking engagement someplace. And we were going to do a follow-up workshop. And I was texting the person. We're actually friends. We've known each other for 20 years. And we were texting back and forth about the events and how it's going to go. And then I said, what are you guys doing tonight? Because I wanted to hang out. We hang out sometimes. And he didn't text me back. So I was like, you don't want to hang out with me?
Sad face.
Sad emoji. Right? You know what happened? His wife was pregnant. She had the baby.
Oh, so excited. That's night, a good excuse.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm the godfather of the child, right? Oh. But if I'm not in a healthy place, right, I don't feel good about myself. I'm like, yo, you don't want to be my friend anymore. Oh. And then they're actually friends. We've known each other for 20 years. And we were texting back and forth about the events and how it's going to go. And then I said, what are you guys doing tonight? Because I wanted to hang out. We hang out sometimes. And he didn't text me back. So I was like, you don't want to hang out with me?
Sad face.
Sad emoji. Right? You know what happened? His wife was pregnant. She had the baby.
Oh, so excited. That's
night,
a good excuse.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm the godfather of the child, right? Oh. But if I'm not in a healthy place, right, and I don't feel good about myself, I'm like, yo, you don't want to be my friend anymore. Oh. And the next time I just use this as a common example. It's your birthday, right? You love your birthday. You were raised, not only your birthday, it's your birthday month. Born in September, September 30th is my birthday. Mm-hmm. So all of September is my birthday month. You must worship me in September. If I'm raised that way, all right, and I expect everyone else to worship me because it's September. Maybe my family dealt with it that way. Okay. Everyone else doesn't have that. So, you know, and for me personally, I was raised, we didn't really celebrate birthdays, right? It wasn't a big deal. We had love and we celebrated. We went to church and we hung out, but there were certain things that culturally we didn't embrace as closely as other people. So if it's my birthday, I'm like, it's just another day. Are you going to work? Yeah. People take the day off for the birthday. I'm not mad at that. But if I, all right, and I expect everyone else to worship me because it's September. Maybe my family dealt with it that way. Okay. Everyone else doesn't have that. So, you know, and for me personally, I was raised, we didn't really celebrate birthdays, right? It wasn't a big deal. We had love and we celebrated. We went to church and we hung out, but there were certain things that culturally we didn't embrace as closely as other people. So if it's my birthday, I'm like, it's just another day. Are you going to work? Yeah. People take the day off for the birthday. I'm not mad at that. But if I don't birthday, if I don't know that they value birthdays, they're like, it's my birthday. And I'm like, that's nice. What's going to happen? There's going to be tension, right? Because in their mind, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I never really said it wasn't common to me. So in that moment, it's like, wow, admit that you made a mistake. So I'll say, wow, if I dismiss the person or don't acknowledge their birthday the way they want, say, I'm sorry if I do something, you know, flagrant to them. And also accept, you know, I hope you accept that I don't value it as much. And it gives me an opportunity to learn more about you, but also learn, you can learn about me. So that's the A.
Okay.
All right. S, secret keeper. Right? There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not trust someone who talks too much because a gossip betrays a confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 20:19, right? So one of the ways I know I can't trust somebody is if you come up to me and we just met, but let's say I've known you, or even if we just met, if you're telling me about somebody else's business, You're like, don't tell anybody, but such and such is dealing with this, and he owes this money, and this is what happened. This happens all the time where people are breaking confidences. So that's how I know I can't trust somebody. So when I talk to you, let's say you're my friend and somebody else is my friend, and Chris is my friend, and you tell me something personal about your life. I see Chris. He will never know anything about what you talked about. Right. You shared your person. Let's say it's something going on with your finances or your marriage or your kids. It's private. Mm-hmm. You shared it with me in confidence. I'm not going to go tell Chris, but, and vice versa. So all my friends know if one person tells me something, it stays with me. Another person tells me, even if we're all friends and we love each other, there's still a level of privacy. It wasn't mine to share. Mm-hmm. And I have to do that for myself as well. There's certain things that are private about my life that I may not share or may share at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So. Secret keepers. You're undivided, meaning you're the same person everywhere you go. I'm in Flemington doing an interview with Happy to Help. I'm the same person in Northern State Prison. I'm the same person at my job. I'm not going to, change what I believe. Some people are Democrats one day, Republicans the next. And so you need to have a consistent set of values that helps you identify who you are. It's hard to trust somebody when you don't know what they believe. they may be playing politics just to fit in. And I think that's it's dangerous to have that because you are controlled by the environment that you go to. You don't add to the environment. You're just fitting in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fit in. I want to belong. Mm-hmm. Fitting in is like, what are they wearing? What do they think? How do they vote? How do they dress? And let me do that to be accepted. I want to belong. To belong, I have to be exactly who I am. That's true belonging, right? That's what the church should be like. So that's you, undivided. A, you want to avoid judgment. You want to avoid judgment,
Judgment is a
conclusion about somebody. I work in prison ministry. Guys have made mistakes, a series of mistakes. You shouldn't be judged in life by a momentary mishap. You made a mistake, you did something dumb, or there was a season of your life where you were not living up to your best, unfortunately. That doesn't determine who you are. You can change. Mm-hmm. That is possible. So I don't want to judge anybody because I don't want anybody to judge me. So if my friend tells me something he did, I'm just like, you're an idiot. and there may be moments when it's like, when there's a level of safety, I'm like, why'd you do that? Right? But I'm not going to say that's who you are forever. No, I still have to give you the opportunity to change to be the best version. So no judgment, which is what Jesus would do. Jesus never made anybody feel inadequate. That's what Jesus, when you came around him, Mark chapter 2, this is one of the reasons why the Christian social ethic means so much to me. Jesus was a friend to the tax collectors and the sinners, right? The prostitutes, the folks who were despised according to the culture. He was like, oh, come on, let's hang out. Let's go to Applebee's. so let's hang out. Yeah. Meanwhile, in our culture, if you don't, wear the right thing and, you have a felony, no, I don't want to talk to you. Right? Like, no, come on, let's hang out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we bring compassion and hope to our society. And last, limits. It's boundaries, right? As a parent, I'm sure you teach your kids, don't let anybody talk to you like that. Teach people have to respect you. And you teach people how to treat you. So your four areas, and I heard you say time, talent, treasures, and I added a fourth, your thoughts.
Oh.
Your thoughts. And with the thoughts piece, let everything you do be a product of your own conclusion. You can't tell me what to think. Even your children, right? They're their own entities. You can influence them. And right now, you have to manage them. You're their manager, right?
Yeah.
when they get older, you'll be their consultant. Right now, you're their manager. They do what you say.
Yeah.
You pay the bills. right. They
sometimes.
Should, right? Sometimes. And I was that kid. I was like, I'm going to do my own thing. Right? But you're responsible for your kids. But when they get older, you're a consultant. You're going to say, here's what I think. They don't need your permission. They can get your counsel. So they ultimately are responsible for their life. And you want to teach. I want to work myself out of a job as a parent, as a coach, as a mentor. I want to give this to you, teach you the tools. And after a while, I need some progress.
Right.
Why am I teaching you the same lessons, the elementary lessons? At some point, you have to mature and I'm not talking to you anymore. So, you want to make sure that there are boundaries in your relationships. So, in your thoughts. So, don't let anybody misuse your time. You said be here at 9:45.
You're early.
I try to be early.
No, it's good.
Yeah, so that's casual. That's casual.
That's amazing. I can't wait to read the book. And, well, thoughts are so critical. And I don't know if you've heard of it's tut.com, T-U-T.com. And the thing that I'm on the email list for that because their philosophy is thoughts become things, so think good ones. So, and I always tell, I learned this from tapes that I used to listen to when I was in sales, and they were saying, your mind, it's like a garden, and it will grow weeds or bad thoughts without any sunlight, any water, any tending. It automatically grows bad thoughts or weeds, so you have to fill it with good thoughts.
That's amazing.
So you have to self-talk,
yep.
And, you know, so it takes some effort,
absolutely.
You know? It
absolutely
takes effort to get there. So
absolutely.
Read the book, and the book is called... The book is called Bridge the Gap, and we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Great.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. We're back. This is Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. You can check us out on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon or look up Happy to Help. That's the page for the show. And this morning we're talking to John Freegest. He is a speaker, a coach, a mentor, an author, a poet, all kinds of great things, and he has a lot to offer. He does coaching and mentoring, and his website is thebridge330.com, and he's got all kinds of good information on there. And please tell us more about the kind of things you're doing in the community and how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, thebridge330.com. One of the things that I'm thankful for is that the book doesn't highlight one individual. The book highlights principles that can be applied anywhere. So one of the ways, it's really easy, you know, low-maintenance way of using the book is starting a book club. Starting a book club slash support group where you can go to the website, like I mentioned, thebridge330.com, click on start a book club. If you put your email in, they're going to send you a PDF, which is going to give you a guide to starting a book club, and it's also going to give you a maturity inventory, kind of an assessment. And, you know, we kind of need to be reparented in some ways. A lot of us, how many, you know, 40 years?
Reminded, like you said.
Right. We need to be, exactly. So folks are saying, I don't know what I want to do with my life, right? I'm just still lost. You know, I'm 25, I'm 30, I'm 35. And how many folks go to law school, they're in med school, and they're like, I never wanted to do this. I don't know how I got to this place. Folks are, you know, in their late career. And sometimes we just need a safe place to reevaluate, and I really think the book club is great for that. But just at a high level, I want to give you some tools if I can.
Sure.
I think everyone knows what they want to do. They know, you know, and I use this example. When we go out with some friends and they say, John, where do you want to go eat? And I say, anywhere. I don't care. And they say, let's go here. And I say, I don't want to go there. What does that mean? That means I know where I want to go. I just haven't taken the time to articulate that. That's what the work is, right? Like,
right.
You know what you're called. If I'm like, they're like, John, do you want to be a hockey player? No, right? So it's kind of a process of elimination. You find out what you want to do by finding out what you don't want to do. So there's a trial and error. But then there's also, as I mentioned, seasons of introspection. Go on a date with yourself, right?
I like that.
You know, so in the book, you'll see certain tools. And I think that using our emotions, so this touches on the emotional health piece, using your emotions to help govern or help you navigate your way. Frustration, anger, right? Your greatest frustration is a problem you are here to solve, right? So 1 in 3 African-American children, males, are set to go to jail or prison. I'm mad at that, right? I know I can organize my efforts in that way. The average net worth of a black family in the state of New Jersey, $5,900. The average net worth of a white family in the state of New Jersey, $271,000.
Holy crap.
Right? Most people don't know this. So there's a question of economic justice. There's a question of financial literacy. So it frustrates me.
And literacy, period.
Absolutely, yeah, period.
You got to read to learn.
The average reading level of someone in prison today, 5th grade. All right. So everything you're doing, and that's actually why I found you, because, you know, I'm just interested in all things literacy. So when I saw your website, I just reached out. Just the fact that we could connect in this way, I'm just really thankful. So there's the frustration. Then there's the happiness, right? What makes you happy? So I think governing what makes your spirit come alive. And the quote is, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is people who've come alive.
Yeah.
So I don't say, what does the world need? No, what makes me come alive? I like to read. I like to write. I like music. And I can use those things to serve the world. Right? And one of them is hope. The last one is hope. Where do you see possibility where other people see despair? Some people are like, why are you going to prison? I'm like, because there are people there who still have potential. People there with dreams and goals. And I go to the prisons and I'm encouraged more than the guys in the prison sometimes because there's so, I mean, in some ways it's a misconception that prisons are not rehabilitative. That is true in some ways. It is what you make it. You can do the time and let the time do you. In Northern State Prison, you can be in class all day if you want to.
Wow.
They have GED programs. They have choir. Yeah. I mean, I went to Christmas service. They had the drummers and the guitars. And it's like its own little community. It's still prison, unfortunately. There's still folks who – I'm not saying we should open up the prison right. And free everybody.
But isn't there a lot of violence in prison too? It depends.
And it depends on the level of security of the
right,
prison.
Right.
And a part of our work is creating men who – make the prison better. So some of the guys who've been in prison for longer periods of time, they ensure that that the prison is relatively safe, that they're trying to turn their lives around.
Okay.
So there's still, in my role as a coach and a counselor, I have to stand between the difficult realities of life and what I believe is possible. Mm-hmm. And your heart is broken in the process. If you're going to live a courageous life, you're going to deal with heartbreak. But I like to look at it as my heart is not broken necessarily. My heart is broken open. Because, you know, you enlarge your soul through grief and loss. The people I met who had the most wisdom had been through the most pain. Mm-hmm. And they positively evaluated that life experience. You know, so I want to use that to serve the world. And that's what Bridge the Gaps is all about. So,
all of your quotes, I just want to write all of them down. And you do have some of them on your website, and I'm right. Sure they're in the book. But mm-hmm. They're so simple, but they make such profound sense.
Right.
So that's good. And the one thing I've been sharing lately is philanthropy is the new community. Mm. That's what I've been talking about because you need to happiness is the key to happiness is helping someone else.
Thanks.
So you just have to find the group, the avenue, the vehicle, the community
right.
That you want to be a part of and belong.
Absolutely.
And then you find your true happiness.
Absolutely.
So that's what I've been touting lately. And the other quote that I copied from your website is we are hurt in community, but also healed in community.
Right.
Right. Like you said, the soul and amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, where are some of the places you've spoken recently, or do you pretty much go to the prison every weekend and that takes up a lot of your time, or?
Yeah, well, I'm at churches, churches and schools. I'm going to be at NJIT this month. It's Black History Month. So.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you booked solid for people having you speak for Black History Month?
I have requests coming.
Good. Well, I mean,
it makes
yeah.
sense. It's my time. It's your
birthday month.
Absolutely. It's Black people's birthday, right? Black people's birthday. Yeah, so Black History Month. We got to make it the whole year, you know?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm trying to make it the whole year.
That's good to have, you know.
No, it's fun.
Everyone's got their month, their day, donut day.
Right,
cheeseburger
exactly.
day, whatever.
No, middle child day. I'm a middle child. So I'm a middle child, like, you know, neglected child day.
My middle child is the feistiest person in the universe. She's breaking out of that mold.
There's a book called The Birth Order.
Oh, yeah.
Which explains
I've heard of
that. Yeah, so it explains. Yes. And when I read it, I'm just like, oh,
that's funny.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you know? There is some truth to all that, for sure.
Yeah, well, my brother does what he does. Well, my sister does what she does. It's crazy.
I know. It's fascinating, right? The social psychology of all.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of speaking engagements coming up. We'll talk about the youth center you were involved in Newark. You said growing up, that kind of kept you grounded.
Right.
Is that still going on?
Still going. Okay, still going.
Was there a particular coach or mentor there that really helped you? And
there were several. So it was the Newark Youth Leadership Project. So what they did was have different organizations, nonprofits in the community. I was at the Greater Newark Conservancy. You can go to citybloom.org to learn about them. And they are a nonprofit focused on environmental stewardship. And they actually have a reentry component. So guys who come out of prison can do a 13-week job training program. So when you're going to come out of prison and maybe your skills need to be polished, a 13-week program to kind of, you know, help you get acclimated to coming to work, working, you know, saving money, just getting yourself situated, mm-hmm. but it actually helps you with the pressure. So there's case management, they have attorneys there to help you with getting IDs. So those are some of the barriers, right?
Yeah, getting into the system. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a serious challenge. Child support cases. My close friend, he came home. He got locked up when I was 13, right? He literally lived next door to me. Like I was in a 4-family house. He was like, right. So I was 13. He was 19. So he got incarcerated. Mm-hmm. He came home when I was 23 and he had like a parking ticket. Right. So he came home and he had a parking ticket and what they do is at 5 a.m, they just come knocking on doors. And anyone who had a parking ticket from like 1996, and that some of those things, they just rounded you up until you could pay the ticket, you know. And he's been through it. He's like built for that life. But he was just around people who were like, let's say it disrupts your life in many ways, you know. And it's a sidebar. Just some of the ways that the young people and their families have to deal with their incarceration. It's just disruptive to the life. Somebody got shot in my community in November, right? So I saw the guy who got shot. You know, I was 70% sure he just got shot. I got there moments after. And I seen him in the street yelling. A couple things there. The fact that he was yelling is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get hit in a vital area. The fact that I know that, I've been PTSD amongst, we've seen violence so much growing up. Seen people get stabbed. Seen people die. I love the fact that Vietnam vets and war vets get help for that. What about children in urban communities?
Yeah.
How does that affect your ability to learn and grow and develop emotionally? So we need to talk about that as well. Seeing violence, you know, on a consistent basis, you know, growing up, seeing stuff like that. So I turn the corner, turn my lights off, cops come. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'm safe. I try to turn into my parking lot, and he's laid out in front of my parking lot. They're like, we can't go in. So I park on the street. A cop comes down the one way, looks at me, and I'm just like,
uh-oh, here we go. Yeah,
I got my black hoodie on.
It
was a late night grocery store run, you know, it's fine. And he leaves. He just looks at me and says, hey, you saw what happened? I was like, no. Yeah, looks like somebody got shot. He said, people shouldn't live like that. I was like, I know. He leaves. Two cops come up. They stop me, frisk me, and take my ID. And they said they stopped me because you fit the description. Most black men in America can fit the description. You know, and there's so many things at play there, right?
Yeah.
If I didn't react a certain way, I could have been killed, right? Because and it's a reality, and I empathize with police because that's a tough job.
It is. Well, my husband loves to watch cops, like live cam and all that. And I was like, some of those you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, no, but it just puts it in perspective. It really does.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and there's a book called The Black Bourgeoisie. So essentially what happens is that when we're growing up, we get a script of go to school, get a high-paying job, and move to the suburbs. And what happens is all the middle-class African-Americans move to out of the suburbs, and you create a culture of poverty. It's not just black folks. It's a poverty anywhere. Creates, you just see there's a correlation of crime. So, you know, having people who left the hood come back is really important. So I want to be in my community. I want to be there to give resources. So I literally popped the trunk and I was passing out books.
Oh my gosh.
So you get a kid who's 6 or 10 or 13. He's like, yo, you wrote a book? It's not your mixtape? You know, and I'm not mad at the mixtape rappers.
No, no.
But you wrote a whole book? And you come from this place, too.
Yeah.
So, possibilities,
that's
right?
Powerful.
You need to see the black doctor, the black lawyer, the black engineer.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be what you can't see,
that's,
right?
It's hard to be what you haven't seen.
Yeah.
So, that's the reality. And you said something so powerful that, and just to summarize it, bad things grow naturally. Good things have to be planted. So, if we're going to turn our communities around everywhere, we need to be proactive. And for me, I'm more concerned with being proactive and being preventive and instructing, because if we don't do that, then it's going to be correction and punishment. And
right.
I'm more concerned with, hey, let's give people the tools up front and let's be proactive about cultivating a positive environment. So
absolutely. And I saw Neil Gaiman speak. He's an author, and he quotes in one of his books that he was somewhere, and they said that the way they predict how many prisons to build is they look at the reading level of the second graders.
Yep.
That it's just so why don't you just teach them to read instead of building a prison?
Sounds
like, hello.
I wish.
So, well, you know, everything. We could go on and on, because we can talk later, but I wanted to ask you about the prize, like the $100 million that went to Newark with Zuckerberg. I mean, we could talk for a whole hour about that, but more books to read. The prize and pick up Bridge the Gaps. Thebridge330.com,
right.
And it was so wonderful having you here today.
Absolutely.
And thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Differing and unconfirmed reports about how many U.S. troops, if any, were killed in a suicide bombing attack in Syria today, for which ISIS has claimed responsibility. Reuters is reporting at least 4 U.S. soldiers were killed while conducting a routine patrol at the time. CBS News saying it was told by a senior military official that 2 U.S. soldiers were killed. President Trump monitoring the situation and has been fully briefed about it, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. Day 2 of the confirmation hearing for Attorney General nominee William Barr has begun before the Senate Judiciary Panel, but unlike day 1, Barr is not present today. As the panel chairman, Senator Lindsey Graham, says,
today the purpose is to hear from people that have concerns and support.
And this is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
In Kenya, a deadly siege at a hotel complex in Nairobi has ended after at least 14 people were killed, including at least one American. The Kenyan president says,
"We have dealt with the threat decisively and shown our enemies and the world that we as a country are ready to deal with any threat to our nation."
The terrorist gunmen held off police for hours until they were finally killed this morning. The Kenyan president saying over 700 people had to be evacuated to safety during the attack. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now asking President Trump to reschedule his State of the Union address. Pelosi says the annual speech should be delayed until after the partial government shutdown's resolved. The address is supposed to be on January 29th. Pelosi citing security concerns related to the shutdown. The world champion Boston Red Sox will visit the White House on February 15th, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.